As you know, I'm not one of your typical ministers that come up here this morning, but I have had the privilege of being around these young men and women throughout this last year. And, you know, they've really strengthened their Bible knowledge through all the things that we've done. So today I'm going to talk a little bit about how the Lord prepares us. And it is fitting that today is Palm Sunday. And we talked a little bit about that in Bible class this morning. And I'll talk a little bit about that a little bit later. So there have been many times the past couple of years that I've tried to ask God, what is it that you have in store for us? Although this is not a simple question, I seem to find myself going back to Scripture in a time when God was laying out his path for the people in Egypt. This is what our youth have been studying for Bible Bowl and other things. So if you want to open your Bibles to Genesis 41, you can, but we're going to talk about in Genesis where Pharaoh had two dreams that no one could interpret. So from this, we know that after consulting with his chief cupbearer, the Pharaoh summoned Joseph. He had been imprisoned and asked him to interpret the dreams. We know how Joseph got there to this place, and it was not a pretty path. Joseph replied to Pharaoh that I cannot do it, but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires. So after Pharaoh explains his dreams to Joseph, Joseph says to Pharaoh, God has revealed what he is about to do. Sometimes we feel like in our walk we ask God, what do you have in store for us? What is your plan for us? In this instance, he gave an answer. Because of this, Pharaoh knew that Joseph was a man of God, and he put Joseph in charge of all of Egypt. As we know, Egypt was not like a small village or something like that. It was an entire area that needed much help. From the story, during the 7 years of abundance, Joseph did what God requested and stored in each city, food in huge quantities, even so much that they stopped counting. Then there was a time of famine, and Joseph sent everyone to Joseph. He knew what to do. God had told him. Why was this man, Joseph, put in charge of so much? How did he know how to follow God? So a time came later that Joseph was then reunited with his brothers. If you remember from the story, they did not know who he was. They had forgotten who he was. They thought he was dead. Joseph, in the story, eventually reveals himself and makes himself known to his family. This must have been an incredible shock to now know that he is with them. So then Joseph's brothers say to him, Joseph says to his brothers, I am the one you sold into Egypt, but do not be distressed because of this, and do not be angry, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. Joseph was on a path laid out by God. God had been preparing Joseph for this whole time to lead not over just his family, but all of Egypt in their time of need. So now we turn over to Exodus, chapter 2. And sometime later, Joseph and all his brothers and all that generation had died. But the Israelites increased and filled all the land. And a new Pharaoh came to power, and the Egyptians made slaves and worked the Israelites ruthlessly. Now, because there were so many Israelites, all of the baby boys were to be killed, but the daughters kept alive. However, God spared Moses' life, and he is adopted by the Pharaoh's daughter. Moses grows up as an Egyptian man. He is given authority, and he sees how hard the Egyptians had become to his people. He struck out an Egyptian and killed him because of this. And Moses flees to Midian to start a new life and a new family. Now, sometime later, Moses was tending the flock. And Charlotte read this verse earlier in Exodus chapter 3. He was tending to the flock of his father-in-law, and an angel appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. From this bush, God commands Moses to return to Egypt and to bring his people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. We know that Moses was 80 years old at this time. He had had a lifetime of leadership within Pharaoh's inner circle and now within the tribe of Jethro. But Moses said to God, "Who am I to go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" We sometimes feel like that. God gave Moses instructions, specific instructions, and Moses returned to Egypt and finds the Pharaoh. Now, although the Israelites believed that God would deliver them from their slavery, this was not an easy path. Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and God sent the many plagues and signs to accomplish this. Now, after the death of his son, Pharaoh allows the Israelites to leave with Moses, and they cross the Red Sea, safe from the Egyptians, and they take refuge in the desert. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. This went on for some time, but we know that God provided what they needed. But the Israelites began to grumble, and even though they had witnessed God's power, they were not satisfied with this. So further along, on the first day of the third month after the Israelites left Egypt, they camped in front of Mount Sinai, and Moses went up to the mount and called to God. During this time, the Israelites could not come up the mountain, and God provided the commandments to Moses. What comes after this is instructions that everyone is to follow. When Moses returns to the mountain, he stays for 40 days, but the people did not know what happened to him, and they built a golden calf, and they worshiped it. God sends Moses down to comfort them and do what is instructed of him. Following this, they left that place, and God's presence followed them. As we know from Deuteronomy chapter 34, when Moses was 120 years old, he had served the Lord and died in Moab. From the Bible, we know that since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all these signs and wonders. The Lord sent him to Egypt, to Pharaoh, and to all the officials, and to this whole land, for no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of Israel. Now, throughout the fall in youth group, we've had a time to study the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5 through 7. This was something that the youth had studied for Bible Bowl last year, and they thought they knew it. This was primarily on Sunday mornings, and on Sunday evenings, we spent time inviting friends and our neighbors to join us in fun activities and having devotionals. On Wednesdays, we spent our time reconnecting, taking time to share something that has been our high, our low, and refocusing on God while the week takes its toll on us. Jesus, during his Sermon on the Mount, began to teach the crowd and his disciples the Beatitudes. To put this on our hearts, we memorize the Beatitudes. Jesus went on to talk about things like murder, adultery, divorce, breaking oaths, eye for an eye, and love for enemies. These are not easy things to talk about. The more we read and studied, the more we were able to see that we are not perfect, that our minds are sometimes hardened, that it is difficult to forgive, that our actions should be guided by our hearts, and our hearts should seek first the kingdom of God. Had we been preparing for this kingdom as much as we had been preparing for school or other activities? Could we find a way to include him each day in everything that we do? Now let's get back to the special day called Palm Sunday. Jesus knew on this day as he approached Jerusalem that things had been prepared by his Father. Riding into town on a donkey, amongst the large crowds who were shouting, "Hosanna." All that were around him were amazed at his teaching, but even those closest to him did not understand. Jesus made enemies. He fought hypocrisy from those interpreting scripture and the law, but soon he was to fulfill what he had been preparing to do. A few days later, after teaching, Jesus gathered those closest to him for one last supper on the day of Festival of Unleavened Bread, and we observed that earlier today. After Jesus shared the bread and the cup, they sung a hymn and went out to the Mount of Olives, and Jesus was then arrested. Jesus was then arrested and hung on the cross. And praise God for that. So today, as we continue our worship, I ask you all, are you prepared? Are you prepared to accept Jesus as your Savior? Are you prepared to come to this place not to share this good news with others, but that they may receive the reward as well? Behind me, we have a baptistry. And at this time, as we continue with worship, I ask you, if you have any need, that you come while we stand and sing. Thank you.